Welcome back, Dr. Anke de Beer, the co-author from the book Digital Dilemma, as we continue on our discussion in the Digital Dilemma series. Great to have you back. We missed you last week, but it's really great to have you back in studio to discuss really important topics. How have you been?
Good, thank you, Brigitte. Thank you for inviting me back, and I've been good, thank you.
Dr. Anke, there are so many different ways and angles that we can go and continue on this discussion, but I think let's keep it high level, let's keep it simple for our listener and start with rules. Maybe there's 5 rules that we can look at when it comes to monitoring and being more effective with our digital devices.
Yes, Brigitte, I agree. This is such a big topic with so much information, but we should keep it practical. So my heart for you as well today is to give you some practical advice. So 5 rules, if I can select out of everything that I've said and you can take home something, the 5 rules will be number 1. No Wi-Fi devices in the bedroom. And we also talked about it, saying that there should be designated areas where you put the computer or the laptop or where they can watch their stories for you as a parent to monitor that as well. And then obviously you should not trust a child with a Wi-Fi device in the bedroom because they will not sleep. You think they are sleeping, but statistically it's proven that they do not sleep. Then no social media until the age of 13, because that is actually the age limit or the age restriction for social media applications is 13. So then parents will ask me with regards to that, when is a good time to give your child a device? So I will say when they go to high school, then they can get a phone, because like I say, social media's age restriction is 13. The number 3, the 3rd rule is set screen time limits and stick to it. We have also talked about that, saying no screen time for children under the age of 4. Primary school children and your grade R kiddos, you can give them about 1 hour screen time a day. High school students, 2 hours screen time a day. Then say no to Snapchat and TikTok. We've also talked about that. Really, TikTok especially is really a horrible, horrible application that teach your children worldly things, you know. And again, this morning I've read a scripture in, it's 1 John 4, where it says that in this world, it is a spirit of the Antichrist. And through the device, you know, it is the spirit of the Antichrist working and wanting to teach your children unworldly, ungodly, practically evil things. So, yes, say no to Snapchat and TikTok. And the last rule is less than 200 friends on any applications. So that is basically what I think you can take home to with regards to simple basic steps.
Less than 200 friends. Okay. Now we're talking to a parent that has a child that wants as many friends and as many followers, or should I say not friends, it's online.
Yes.
So they don't really know these people, as many as possible. That's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah, because unfortunately they find their identity with the likes and the shares and the comments. And it's actually like this inflated ego almost, where they need this confirmation and need this likes. But you should actually teach your child that it's fake. Like you say, it's not friends. It's just people that you are connected to, but that does not make them your friend. I've asked that several times when I speak to high school children, and then I'm asking them specifically, how many of your social media friends, how many of them can you phone in the middle of the night when you really, really have a crisis, and they will leave everything and help you? Because that is a real friend. A real friend is somebody who will be there for you through thick and thin. My grandmother always said, she's not living, so she said that if you can go through life and you made one good friend, then you are a rich person. And that is the honest truth.
That's also something that we need to keep in mind and understand the value of friendship, because it's investing in what you have, and that instead of having this transactional like for a like, it's more of a relational.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is really what we are missing with online applications, is real life connection, interaction, eye contact, mirroring somebody else's body language, you know. And again, the Bible says when somebody laugh with them, when they cry, cry with them. How will you be able to do that when you are divided by screens? And on that, I really just want to mention some of the platforms that is flagged for sexual content that you as a parent need to look out for. So it's Kik is the number one, Tumblr, Twitter, Discord, and Instagram. And then applications that is not good for, that is flagged for suicidal ideation. So that is really something that we see, especially on TikTok, that within 30 days of you signing up on TikTok, the algorithm is structured in that way that within 30 days you will get content of suicide, self-harm, and eating disorders. So platform flagged for suicidal ideation is Discord, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Reddit. So, and that is basically the applications that our children, mine as well, is on these days. But you should be involved. Then again, you must be involved in your child's digital world. It must be a thing that you check up on. You must be there. You must talk about it. There must be no passwords on that phone that you do not know of. The locations should be switched off. The privacy settings should be switched on. So this is basic things that must be in place.
And also closing and making your profile private.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because parents, so they really do not realize that this is, and we've also talked about it, this is the place where predators are hunting for your child. This is where they get the information. So yes, all the privacy settings should be switched on. And like I say, all your location settings should be switched off. So they should not be able to find the location of your child. And then again, you know, there must be applications that monitor your child's, daily digital activity. Like we also said, the best one currently is the application called Bark, like the dog that barks. It is one that you pay for, but you can add 5 devices on that application. But also Family Link is also a good application, and then Screen Time, also a good application for you to monitor your child. And then Life 360 is also good to follow your child, the tracking, the whereabouts. And I know a lot of them will say, yeah, but what about my privacy? And you are spying on me. And you should never see it as spying. You should really seeing just protecting and guarding that child's heart. And that child must also understand that you are not spying, but you are protecting.
And a very good angle to put it at, because sometimes it can feel like it's an invasion. In the old days, you'd write a diary and you'd write your journal, and people used to think, oh, if you read your journal, if somebody's reading your journal, that is, they are invading your privacy. But in this sense, because it is kind of like a journal that is now out on digital, it's out exposed to anybody that can see it if it is not closed and locked and made private. So really good advice that you have given us. Dr. Anka De Beer also wants to just touch on a few other things. Now, you've mentioned the apps that are available to monitor screen time for parents. You've mentioned the different types of platforms that you need to make sure that your children are avoiding, and that includes Snapchat and TikTok. But how do you know now your child is under 13 already, got a social media platform and profile, and now you are noticing things are different in your child? Let's touch on a few things and start with bullying.
So this is probably, I think, apart from pornography, this is one of the biggest dangers of being on social media is this aspect of bullying. And it is happening. A lot of children are being bullied online. And if they are not being bullied online, they know of somebody who has been bullied. So there is two angles that we have to look at. And that one, what if your child is the bully? So there is some indications that your child might be the bully, and the number one thing is if your child have, for example, a private account or are operating under a different name, a secret name, then the reason for that is that they don't want to reveal their real identity, and that is a red flag. Another thing that you have to watch out for is, for example, if you walk into the room and all of a sudden all screens is, you know, being put away or shut down or taken away, also a red flag. And then obviously when your child has become more aggressive all of a sudden, aggression is always an indication that there is something wrong. If your child or the receiver of the bullying or being bullied, normally they will not want to go to school. They will say to you, like, they feel sick. They will have like a tummy ache or a headache. Tummy ache normally also a good indication that something is not wrong. Their grades will start to drop. They will be very, very emotional, crying a lot. And then also you will see that they do not want to be on their phone because, you know, in our days, when we go to school, the bully were on the playground and we sorted each other out there on the playground, and then we go home, the bully stayed on the playground. But nowadays on the phone, where did the bully go? The bully go with you to your home and into your bedroom. So there's no disconnect from the bully. So when a child all of a sudden is very withdrawn, you should really, really also start investigating what's going on.
You also mentioned sexual content and how certain apps or certain platforms on social media are exposing kids at a really young age. And where are signs that children are being exposed to excessive amounts of sexual content?
Yeah, Brigitte, so this is really, really a scary subject because currently, science has proven, research has proven that a child from the age of 9 have been exposed to unwanted sexual content. Another thing that we are currently seeing today is that not only are they exposed to pornography from the outside world, children are becoming the pornographers. And this is really a scary part. So you should also, you know, the moment when a child is being secretive, behind closed doors, online a lot, especially during the night, you know, you can see being hours and hours online, in the bathroom a lot, and then also behavioral changes like aggression, very, very secretive, very attacking teachers, classmates, you as a parent. So any indication of aggression, really, then again, you should also investigate. But you as a parent, these barriers, these blockers, blocking this application, it should be in place before you give a child a phone. Before you give a child a phone, have the talk of what is allowed, what is the boundaries. Have the talk if you come across any form of sexual content, what should you do? Tell him also, you will not be in trouble, but please, if you come across things that is not right, put down the phone, run away from the phone and come and tell. So that is basically what I teach the children as well. You should turn, run, tell. And if you are telling me as a parent, listen, there is something on the phone that I should not see, then don't be angry. rather praise the child, saying, thank you that you come and tell me, and not shame the child any further or put guilt or condemnation on the child, because then he will not have the freedom or the courage to come and tell you, listen, I've come across something that is not for good for my eyes. So encourage them to come and tell them, and just remove that. But then again, your child should not come across these kind of sexual content if the blockers, if the age restriction, parental controls is in place, like Bark, Family Link, and also on your phone, also on your Wi-Fi, you can put these age restrictions on your router as well to protect children. It should be in place, because restoring the damage afterwards is much harder than just protecting them from the beginning. Because if a child is exposed to unwanted sexual content, we treat these children for trauma, severe trauma, and sometimes it can be a lifelong burden to them. So rather protect them from the start.
Thank you so much, Dr. Anka de Beer, for joining us to continue on this discussion. We really appreciate the insights that you have shared with us, and we look forward to another discussion real soon.